Lord, write your word on our minds and on our hearts. Help us to understand your word and to live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sit down. I'm someone who can get nervous when someone says, "Can you do something for me next Wednesday?" Trust me, Nanette will tell you. Far too often, my first response, is no. This is partly, I'll admit, selfishness, but also partly fear. I'm not good at multitasking, at spinning plates, and adding another plate is always scary, even when it's a very small plate. And I find things that cross the boundaries between work and family and church particularly difficult. And surprise tasks and commitments are even harder to say yes to. I know I have issues. Believe me, Nanette knows I have issues. There she is, nodding away. I'm getting better at saying yes, but I'm a long way from being a yes person. Well, it's all about saying yes today. No, not yesterday. Yes, today. In the passage from Luke, Peter says yes 3 times. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, a bit of theological nerdiness. Only Luke calls it Gennesaret. And only Luke calls it a lake. Everyone else in the New Testament calls it the Sea of Galilee. The name Gennesaret comes from a Bronze Age town only found named in Joshua 19, verse 35, but was in the New Testament the name of the plain on the western shore of the sea, or lake. So is it a lake or is it a sea? Of course, I did the research for you. Galilee, or Gennesaret, is a large body of water. It is bigger than anything in England or Scotland. But at 166 kilometers squared, it is half the size of Loch Ness in Northern Ireland. And Lake Victoria, at 68,800 kilometers squared, is roughly 500 times larger than Galilee or Gennesaret. So Luke is right. It's a lake. Remember that. Anyway, and this will go a lot faster if you stop asking me questions about lakes. As Jesus was standing by the lake, there were people crowding around him, listening to the word of God. The important stuff, the word of God. Can you imagine listening to Jesus teach the word of God? What I wouldn't give to hear that. Imagine. I know, it's difficult to imagine. You're stuck with me, so you'll have to imagine hard. Anyway, the crowd was getting a bit crowdy, and Jesus decides to get into a boat, as you would. Simon and the other fishermen were busy washing their nets after a hard and fishless night. And Jesus asks the tired, frustrated Simon to take him out a little way from the shore so he can teach the people from there. And Simon says yes, the first yes. Some of you might be at your first yes, or you might know someone who's at their first yes. Do you have a bit of time to find out about Jesus? It's not an easy yes, the first yes. Life is busy. You're tired and frustrated. You've got nets to wash. Probably not actual nets. That's a metaphor. There is stuff you have to do, and your time is precious. But if you do have actual nets to wash, well, I've just nailed it. It's an important yes, the first yes, to say to Jesus. But I promise you, it's worth saying it. And it's not just me promising. I can point you to good people, to honest people, to clever people, and loving people who would all advise you to say the first yes. Giving a bit of time to finding out about Jesus is well worth your while. The second yes is a tougher one. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Now Simon, James, and John and the others had been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. A second bit of nerdiness for you. The nets they used would almost certainly have been large trammel nets, needing 2 to 4 fishermen to deploy with floats at the top and weights at the bottom. They were quite complicated. I won't give you any more details, except for the fact they were made of linen and would have been visible to the fish in daylight, but hard to see at night. Hence, they fished at night. And they would have needed cleaning every morning. So they hadn't caught anything at night, and they had the wrong equipment for fishing in the daytime. The idea that they would have been able to catch anything now was ridiculous. You can hear the skepticism in Simon's answer. "Master, we've worked so hard all night and haven't caught anything." But there is something that convinces him to give it a go. "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." There is something about Jesus. Simon has known Jesus, has been hanging around Jesus for some time now. Jesus healed his mother. And something about this has made, something about Jesus has made him want to trust his fishing advice, even though he's just a carpenter's son. This second yes is a recognition of Jesus as someone who is worth trusting. The second yes might cost you something. It might cost you some pride as you admit you need help. You might have to give up a bit of control. And it might cause you some embarrassment as you are seen to give this man Jesus status and authority in your life. The second yes is a tangible step, an acceptance that Jesus is important and not to be easily dismissed. The second yes is a bigger step than the first yes, but it is not the big one. No, the big one is the third yes. Oh, the third yes. I hope some of you are at the third yes. It's mad. It's shaky and scary, and it's wonderful. The third yes is the biggest decision in your life and is, to be brutally honest, quite terrifying. It is the deepest thing you will ever do. It was and is the biggest decision in my life. And it was the biggest decision in Simon's life. The third yes is a bit more complicated too. It was and still is a conversation. When Simon saw the catch, the massive, impossible catch they landed, he recognized something more about the reality of Jesus Christ. It was a dramatic recognition. Simon fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." The third yes is life-changing. It starts with saying, "I see you, Jesus. I see you, and I recognize something in you that I need, something good and right. I see you, and I see me. I see what a mess I'm in. This is me, the mistakes I've made, the failures in my life. I see you, Jesus, and I see me. I am a sinful person." Simon saw how far he was from Jesus, and it forced him down. He crumpled. And Jesus replied, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." Jesus didn't say, "Yes, you are rubbish, aren't you? Let's go through the many ways you're sinful. He doesn't tell him off. He doesn't punish him. When Simon falls to the floor, Jesus tells him not to be afraid. And from now on, he will be doing good things. From now on, you will fish for people. One last bit of nerdiness. The verb used by Jesus for fishing for people is sogreo in Greek, and it means to capture alive or capture for life. The same verb is used in Greek and in Hebrew. Hebrew equivalent is used in Joshua 2, verse 13, when Rahab in Jericho is asking for a promise from the conquering Israelite army, that you will spare the lives of my father and mother and my brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, and you will deliver us from death. Of course, it's also a reference to fishing, to catch. But Simon and the others will not be catching fish to sell in the marketplace anymore. They will be catching people to give them freedom. However bad you feel about yourself, don't be afraid. For Jesus, there's nothing more to say. It's time to get on with the rest of your life. It's time to do the things, the wonderful things, that he has planned for you. So, they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. That's the third yes. Simon, as well as James and John, left everything behind to follow Jesus. Some of us will give up a lot to follow Jesus. Some of us will give up everything. Some of us will spend life learning how to give more. Jesus is the number one priority for a Christian. In terms of what matters to us, Jesus is it. Nothing and no one comes before him. And we're called to trust in him completely. Leaving everything to follow Jesus is the biggest yes. It is the yes that says, we're sorry. We see Jesus and we see ourselves. And we're sorry. It's the yes that says, don't be afraid. Because Jesus died for us and made us right with God. It is the yes that changes our lives and the lives of others. It is the yes that flips things over and puts things in the right order. And it is the yes that lets God start his work in our hearts to change us into the people we were made to be. Now let's talk about the fourth yes, the fifth yes, the sixth yes. When we have surrendered and seen him and seen ourselves, when we've put all our money on Jesus, everything we have on Jesus, all of ourselves in his hands, when we've said the third yes, we start a new life, a life with Jesus. And he will give us many, many more opportunities to say yes. And each time we do, right things will happen. They will often be unexpected, and they may be scary still. They may not always be easy, but by saying yes more often to Jesus, we will help him with his work in the world. We will show his love to others, and we will get deeper into our relationship with him. Christianity, our faith, is a journey. I know it's a cliche, but it is. It's a journey of yeses. And sometimes it's hard. Now, this is a question for mature Christians. I don't usually put people on the spot when I talk, but this is a hands-up question. Hands up, who still gets scared when they think about what God might ask them to do? I know I do. Thank you, by the way. I know I do. I just thought it was me. No, I didn't. I shy away from giving him the opportunities. I know I do. I try and constrain what he might ask me. I'll do this, Lord, or I'll do that. Which one should I do? Chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream? It's a tough one, Lord. Or both. Thank you, Andrew. I'll stick my fingers in my ears when certain topics come up. La, 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 la. I don't actually do that, not literally, otherwise you'd notice. But I do it inside. I need, and we need, to keep being open to saying yes to Jesus. Saying yes to Jesus is a lifetime challenge and a life of reward and growth and wonderful, wonderful transformation. For me, it's been exciting and continues to be so. And it's been scary and continues to be so. But it's always been the right thing to do. Every time I look back at the times I've said yes to Jesus, I can see, okay, that turned out okay. That actually didn't go anywhere where I expected it to go, but that went weirdly in the right way. So every time we open ourselves to say yes, we change a bit. We become more like what we're made to be, how we were created to be. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you are our Lord and Savior. You know what is right, and you know what is right for us. Open our minds, open our hearts. Help us to say yes to you in all things. In Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anything you want to say yes to Jesus about today, whether it's one of the three yeses I talked about, first yes, second yes, third yes, or it's just a yes or a question about something in your life at the moment, please do go and see Pat and Maureen, who you can pray with and talk to about it. If you're at the second yes, if you want to find out more about Jesus and you're willing to give up some time to give this man some credibility and give him some status in your life, the Alpha group is probably a good place to go. So Pete, who will put his hand up, thank you, Pete, talk to him afterwards. If you want to find out a bit more and you're not just, and you've just got that next step. Thank you, everybody.